I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago,
Oh my
and
God,
I
how'd it
got
go?
complimented. Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented, and I was like, well, they're Spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I won't name. But
This
if you
ain't
love this album, you're
Texas.
gonna this ain't Texas. You're gonna want your Tecovas, you know? This ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience, it's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is yet another instance of recording where we're in the same room. That never happens.
It's so rare, and you're so lucky to get a second episode of this.
Because we are in Los Angeles in the middle of our 2019 tour. We just had our second show of the tour in Los Angeles at the Regent Theater. It went great.
It was so great, actually.
Thank you to everyone who came. We had the best time.
We sold so much merch. It was so,
so
delightful.
So much merch. We met so many fans, hooligans. You were all so fun.
Nice. Oh my God.
It was really, really good. And so was the San Francisco show.
If you did the meet and greet, you know how like uncomfortable you were with that, but it was so delightful to do, you know?
Yeah, never did a meet and greet until San Francisco. Did it a second time in LA. Was a lot of fun.
Was a lot of fun.
Two people showed up in shirts they made for the occasion. One was wearing a shirt with Glenn Close's face on it. The other one was wearing a shirt with Lady Gaga's face on it.
Amazing.
Which is great because the live show has a lot of the wife in it.
It was completely on theme.
Has a lot of the wife in it.
I mean, but not too much. Come on. People are going to not come.
Yeah, no, they should. But they should come. That's a reason to come.
This weekend we are here, but next weekend we're actually going to be in Denver on Thursday.
Denver on Thursday. Seattle on Friday. Portland on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So if you are on the fence of coming to any of those shows, like definitely buy a ticket.
Yeah, it's
going to
be
amazing. We've practiced the show twice now, so it's only going
to
get better.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have all new stuff to talk about next week because the original stuff is old at that point.
And if you were at a live show and any of this sounds familiar, sorry. Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
So Lindsay, what's tonight? What's the big Who news that's happening tonight?
So tonight is Sunday, mm-hmm. and Sunday tonight is the huge event, the huge Fox event of Rent live, starring the one and only Tinashe and no one else.
I was going to say we should talk about the other people in it, but I don't even know what to say about Jordan Fisher.
There's
what?
People. Okay, so Jordan.
Valentina. Okay.
Jordan Fisher, I interviewed once about a video game. Don't ask. He's delightful. He was in Grease Live. Mm-hmm. That was like his big thing. And now mm-hmm. he's doing other stuff. He was in Hamilton, I think.
Too. Oh, right. He was a good. I think we talked about him when Rent Live was announced.
Valentina's an interesting case. Valentina's a drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. Do not know if she can sing. But what's interesting is she got kicked off. Oh, is that a spoiler? Who cares? It already aired. She got kicked off the Rita episode of Drag Race. Rita Ora. We'll talk about that later. This week. So there's an interesting semi-narrative of her getting kicked off Drag Race and doing Rent Live this next week, which is kind of like Tinashe getting kicked off Dancing with the Stars and then immediately starting her rent practicing. A little bit different because Tinashe's was more in real time and Valentina, obviously, this Drag Race was shot before the Rent practicing.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But it syncs up like really well.
That's interesting.
Who else is in this?
Vanessa Hudgens, obviously.
Oh, obviously. Who is playing? She did play the Mimi role, but now she's playing the older Maureen role, which mm-hmm. I love. Like she aged out of it.
She aged up.
Even though I'm sorry, but like she looks like she's 15. She could play that role, but maybe they were like, we don't want Vanessa Hudgens, like an Italian American, I think, playing not great for this performance.
Right, I get it. I get it. Then there's Brandon Victor Dixon.
I think she's Italian American. Do not quote me on that.
Okay.
He was in Jesus Christ Superstar Live, which my parents loved.
He's Broadway person.
Yeah, my parents loved it, by the way. He was the more impressive co-star of John Legend, honestly. Not that John Legend isn't amazing, but this guy blew him out of the water.
Okay. And then last but not least, Tinashe. We haven't talked about
that's her. That's our girl. I've seen clips of her practicing.
We heard her sing Seasons of Love.
And she sounds great.
And she had like,
I don't know. She's a great dancer.
I don't know. Rent, someone was saying they gave her, her character doesn't really have a big part in that song, but they gave her a big part in that song because it's Tinashe.
Well, it's also like
they have to rebalance
who can sing and who cannot sing. Mm-hmm. So they have, you know, some better singers than others, I think. I would say. I'm very, again, curious about Valentina. Did not know she could sing, but
we're going to have Keila Settle in there.
Yeah.
Greatest showman herself.
And who's the other girl? Who's playing?
Jennifer Lee Warren.
Joanne. She's playing Joanne? Something. She's an actress.
Kiersey Clemons.
Yeah, she's a thing.
Kiersey Clemons. She was in Neighbors 2.
Yeah.
She was one of the sorority girls in Neighbors 2.
I mean, I assume all these people can sing. Like, obviously, they wouldn't be in this if they couldn't sing. But there's some borderlines, you know, where you're like, what are you choosing this person for?
So. She was in my favorite one of my favorite Hui Network shows of the past, like, 5 years.
What was that?
Extant.
What the fuck
is that? The Halle Berry sci-fi show that they hyped.
And you were the only one who watched it?
No, I didn't even watch it. Because, like, it was hype. It was like Halle Berry's getting into the, like, television game.
Yeah.
Because, like, what other game is she playing?
Sure.
And so they put her on TV and then no one watched it. And it was
She's
like
not
a
playing
weird...
the art game anymore because her art was stolen weird thing. By all those pirates.
Remember? Let me read the premise because it was crazy. Molly Woods. Okay, Halle Berry playing Molly. Here, Molly Woods, an astronaut with ISEA, the International Space Exploration Agency, is assigned a 13-month solo mission aboard a space station, and then she comes home and she's pregnant.
Did she
remember?
Did this get more or less episodes than Jerry O'Connell's Bravo talk show?
It got more. It got 26 episodes.
It's a three episode over under. It's how many episodes?
26, and then it was canceled.
That's a lot of episodes.
It's a season.
26 episodes in a season? No. Season 1 and 1A or whatever. Sorry, we're in Los Angeles, so we get to talk about this stuff.
But, you know, network TV shows used to have like 20-something episodes in a
season. An amazing 26-episode sci-fi series starring Halle Berry.
I did not think we would fall into this tangent, but let's start the show.
You were on the Seraphim station for 13 months. Are you sure there was no one else on board? Molly, you're pregnant.
You will drive it. Yeah.
So one big, weird, crazy, horrible, insane thing happened last night, and it was that during Lady Gaga's performance as Enigma, in Las Vegas, she was singing Shallow on her stage that everyone was at, and then who comes out but Bradley Cooper, dressed as Bradley Cooper,
in
Bradley Cooper drag, which means the opposite of Jackson Maine.
Yeah, and honestly, I gotta say, it ruined everything for me. I'm an anti-Star is Born, just kidding. I still love A Star is Born, but I have to say, seeing them perform it as their actual selves ruins the entire thing.
No.
I love the song, I love them, but he out of Jackson Maine drag, his singing is not convincing. Her singing is beautiful, but her as Enigma is wild. It does not fit. It's insane.
Well, she was in her Joanne aesthetic, right. The like ripped t-shirt, the jeans, right. Like
but
the
if
weird
anything,
hair.
Enigma's closer to Ali Maine drag, because Enigma's like kind of weird, kind of new Gaga, new for us. We're still getting used to her.
Is Enigma the name of the show or is it her character?
Steven.
We're in Steven. Our dear friend Steven Avalos' house. Steven, come here.
Is Enigma what Gaga's calling herself, or the name of the show, or both?
It's the name of the show.
But it's not her character. It's not like a Joe Calderon
character.
They're in her show, but not her.
In the Gagaverse, yeah.
Okay, but it's not her. Okay, bye. Yeah, okay. Thank
that
you so much.
That was the least helpful thing we've ever heard. Thank you so much, Steven.
Hello, Vegas. Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for?
Yeah, so
we're gonna play a clip here. It's weird.
It's weird.
They sound great.
It's weird to watch because there's a part where she, where he's singing and she's bowing to him and holding his hands.
She's in his lap.
It's. I understand what's going on here. Obviously, they're the Oscar run up is big. They're gonna win.
They gotta win.
I
don't know
why they're gonna win. Like, why even? What are you fighting for here?
Well, I think the thing is now that the momentum for Star is Born, the momentum has burned out. And it's not the front runner that it once was.
Yeah.
I think they're just like, well, now we thought we were a shoo-in for original song. Well, now we really got to seal the deal. We got to make sure. Because any number of weirdo things could happen now.
But don't you think this is more, I understand song. I think they're a shoo-in, obviously. But do you think this is more for best actor, best actress?
Maybe.
I mean, it's whatever it is. It's for the whole thing.
Because now he wasn't nominated for director. It's looking like Spike Lee might get that now, which is great. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It was nominated for Best Picture. I don't know. Well, now, Bohemian Rhapsody, there's no way in hell it'll win. I don't think there's a way in hell the Green Book will win.
That's like a curse. Like, don't curse.
It's probably between Black Klansman at this point, which is like a weird, like, come up.
That's weird.
And then A Star is Born or Roma.
It's not amazing.
A Star is Born or Roma. And Roma's going to win Best Foreign. Then the voters might be like, well, we already gave it to this.
When the artist won Best Picture, did it win Best Foreign too?
I don't think so. Okay. Let's see.
Because that is like an interesting thing. It's like, okay, so... A lot of the time, the excuse for a foreign film
it rarely happens.
Right. So what I'm saying is, like, the Academy will say, like, this is a really, really good movie, but we're going to give it Best Foreign, and then we kind of, like, clear the way. Because mm-hmm. voting for something twice for best is a huge thing. Because you want to try and be well-rounded sometimes.
So, actually, Lindsay, you know what I think it was? It wasn't even nominated for foreign film because the category is foreign language film. The artist is silent. There's no language.
Totally.
I mean, I could be wrong, but no, it literally wasn't even nominated.
It wasn't nominated.
That movie, A Separation. What did you see that? The movie from Iran about the divorce.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah, that one won. It wasn't even nominated.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, this is not an Oscars podcast. You got to go to Little Old Men.
Yeah, you got to go to Little Old Men. Got to go to this hat Oscar buzz.
I'm curious, like, the statistics of, like, you know, foreign film, winning foreign film, not winning Best Picture. Mm-hmm. If it was nominated twice, what ends up happening? That could play a lot into this.
Point is, they don't know. I think no one really knows what's going to happen anymore, which is exciting, which is one of the reasons that the Oscars are going to be fun this year.
Yes.
But it's also meaning that, like, the run-up is going to be weird as hell.
I mean, remember how stressful they were last year? Like, sometimes the Oscars can be, like, truly stressful. Like, My Enemy, Three Billboards, like, that actually, like, destroyed me.
Oh, we were almost there. We were almost there.
That destroyed me. The entire show, I just kept being like, I have an enemy. I mean, I have another enemy. I don't love Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't love Green Book. But, like, I'm not rooting against them. I'm rooting for the things I love.
I already forgot what won last year. We were worried it would be Three Billboards, and it wasn't.
Lady in the Water.
Lady in the Water.
Was it? No.
Shape of Water. The Shape of Water. That's Bryce Dallas Howard. Excuse me, Jessica Chastain. So that's
Shape of Water. A fine. That's the thing. It's like, a forgettable experience with mm-hmm. The Shape of Water.
Speaking of A Star is Born, a star is about to be born, and that star is Andy Cohen's child.
Son.
Oh, it's a son?
Yeah, it's a son.
Okay.
Yeah. He's having a son. The shower was hosted by several housewives at the Palm in Beverly Hills.
Wow. Yes.
The theme of the baby shower was A Star is Born, and John Mayer was there. He and Andy are friends. Okay, that's what happened.
Me said that. Will you dance on the table at my baby shower that?
No.
Please?
I love you, Abby, but no.
That's cute.
It's really cute. It's really honestly heartwarming. Andy Cohen is, like, for me, he's a redeemable character. Like, he really can do no wrong to me at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. he's just like, when he speaks out, he says smart things. He seems like he knows what he's doing. The way that he interacts with housewives is somehow non-problematic. Like, he doesn't feel like he's laughing with them. He feels
a weird
like
paternal
he's,
thing. Yeah,
it's paternal, but I feel like he's like, they're in a win-win situation where, like, they know what they have to give and he knows what he has to give. Mm-hmm. And he has some weird, genuine relationship. So he had a baby shower and
it was at the Palm in LA. What is that? Tell me about the Palm. Is it like a corny place?
Oh,
or is
the Palm. There's a Palm in New York.
Okay.
The Palm is like a very old school, very, very expensive restaurant. Okay. Everything is supersized. And their thing is they have caricatures that go on the wall of the Palm. And that's like why it's famous. It's like a celebrity place because the celebrities will go and they'll get... It's very... You know what it is?
What?
It's Sugar Factory, but like older.
Oh.
In that like they kind of play
it's
off
like highbrow Sugar Factory.
That celebrities have been there. Here's their signature. Here's their photo. It's actually
the
really
Palm
funny.
Beverly Hills. That's what it is.
Yo, wait. Speaking of this, just really quickly off topic. I just went to a weed store to get weed with my friend and we walked into the front room. You know how like in weed stores, there's like a front room where you give them your ID in a back room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the front room, there were all these paintings. And one of the paintings was 100% of Ellen DeGeneres. And I said to the lady, is that Ellen DeGeneres? And she looks up, she goes, oh yeah. And it was Ellen DeGeneres. And I swear to God, like a suit, she looked like she was in like Boys to Men in the 90s. It looked like New Jack Swing. She was wearing two huge rings and a huge watch for some reason. Mm-hmm. And her head looked really small. And then the woman goes, you know what's funny? Someone came in here once and said that looked like Amanda Bynes and she's the man. And I was like, oh my God, is that for sale? And she goes, it can be. And I was like, no, it's like, and my friend was like, stop, you need to stop. And then we went in, got weed.
It can be.
It can be.
And then you were like, that's my cue to go.
Anyway, sorry, off topic, but
you would have ended up spending like $600 on that thing.
If it had been, I didn't want to ask because if it had been anywhere close to 100 to 150, I would have bought it. I mean, it was deranged. It looked crazy, but like who needs a,
you
I don't need
a
painting of Ellen DeGeneres
No, no one needs Ellen anything in their anything. That's what I would have to say.
I know, but I do love like a paint. I love a painting.
So Andy Cohen had this enormous blowout baby shower at the Palm and all of the housewives came, like his children slash his employees. All of them came Lisa Vanderpump.
Except all of them plus John Mayer, which is hilarious. Yeah. Except Lisa Vanderpump.
Was Bethany there? I didn't see her in any photos. Was she just like on the down low?
I didn't see Bethany.
Because
which is
the main thing was, it was everyone. That is a lot of people.
Wait, like, there's a picture. Hold on.
But the main thing was Lisa Vanderpump didn't come. And she didn't come because she had like restaurant business.
But
to
also interesting because Lisa Vanderpump famously is not in a lot of her season, which has been reported. They thought she was leaving the season. She said, I'm not leaving the season, but I was busy because of my personal life. But this kind of plays into that for me because that is a little bit more evidence that like, Lisa is over it.
What's interesting to me is, so you saw the photo of everyone together, right?
I'm going to zoom in on it and see if
Andy
I can find
Cohen up top with Kyle Richards and John Mayer and Lisa Rinna. Do you think that the order of this photo do you think there's a hierarchy here, like a visual hierarchy, his favorites to his least favorites, or do you think it's sort of a true mix?
I mean, I know.
Because I do see Dallas up at the bottom.
His two favorites, I know this, his favorites are
Bethany
and Kyle.
Yes, okay.
I know
he
that.
Said this.
Bethany's not in this photo.
So
she's
she must not
here.
Be there.
I think he's also super delighted by Nene and Ramona. I think he really likes a lot of the more successful housewives in terms of like the ones that are really out there.
Here's
I'm
my question
pretty sure
to
he
you.
Does not like Teresa.
Well, here's my question to you. Do you think that he... So Lisa Rinna is a real manipulator. She's a she will do whatever it takes to get what she wants, which I guess is I respect, and that's why she's good on the show. But do you think he actually likes Lisa Rinna, or do you think she just strong-armed her way up there? You know, like what do you think he actually thinks about Lisa Rinna? Because she's such an overpowering voice. It's like when you're at a party, let's say, and there's that one person who is louder than everyone else,
and you're
just
like,
can't avoid
I love
it.
You, but like you need to stop.
Yes,
an hour
that's
in.
Who she is.
But the thing is like. His love and hate for these women is so interesting because it's like he feeds them and they feed him back. Like they're all technically,
symbiotic.
They're all like sucking up to him. Uh-huh. So I'm sure like when they're around him, they're like super extra because they're like, Andy, look at me. Like,
Daddy, I want to be your favorite daddy.
Like put me on the TV, daddy or whatever.
Yes.
Like, again, I don't even know how much control he has over this, but it definitely affects like who he has on his show, the late night show and who's featured and blah, blah, blah. So like, I don't think these women are whatever, being their authentic selves around him for him. Like it's a performance. And I think the ones he has truly good relationships with are the ones that you feel like are the more, first of all, have been around for a while and are the more like grounded ones. Not that I'm saying Bethany is grounded, but in some aspects she is.
Yeah.
She's more like. She's not like as loopy as everyone else, just mean.
She was on the most recent episode of Shark, because she comes in and out of Shark Tank over the past season or two.
No one likes her on that show.
No, she's awful. But it's
not
it's,
even the audience.
It's getting more obvious because the other sharks have never liked her and they're increasingly fed up with her. You can just tell that like everyone hates her.
Yeah.
And her whole, all she brings.
Also, it just seems like none of the entrepreneurs who come in want to work with her.
No one wants to work
with
her.
Right? Like they'll choose people over her because they're like, what can you give me?
There was one beverage company recently that was like really gunning for her. And I think she bought, although like TBD on any, on whether or not any of those deals actually work out.
Sometimes they bring people in as little house hunters-y that I think already sealed deals.
Yeah. Also, the truth about the ugly truth about Shark Tank is that the deals that get made on Shark Tank, only like a fraction of those actually end up happening.
Because
did
of
you
all
know
the
that?
Contingencies.
Because after you make a deal, the sharks have like a certain period where they can review all the like the finances and all the intricacies and everything,
out.
And they can back out. And well, most of the time,
yeah.
they back out.
But that's what's so delightful about the show is that like, sure, the show itself is inauthentic in that way, but it is authentic in that these people are giving their real money to these businesses.
Yes, yes,
so
yes,
like,
yes, yes.
sure, of course it makes sense that they would like want to review. You can't just go on there and tell them your sales. Like maybe you're misreading the numbers. God knows I would. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's just... It makes sense. So it is realistic in that way, even if it's not realistic in the initial way. Well, how are mm-hmm. we still talking? Now we're talking about Shark Tank?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we got here. You know what one of my favorite parts of the show last night
was in LA? Sure.
Whenever we were doing our meet and greet with one of the fans, who uh-huh. was like, I've spent so much money because of you on good products. And she was like, look, I mean, she was literally carrying her Everlane tote.
Yes.
She loved it. She yes. was like, I buy all of these products that you support, yep. but I love them.
Yeah.
But she was wearing Everlane at the show,
yeah, was
which
amazing.
Was great.
Which
so was
inspiring.
I was
and
wearing,
you were too.
I was wearing Everlane bomber jacket. Well, in case you aren't familiar, Everlane only makes premium essentials using the finest materials without traditional markups. They want you to know what you're paying for and why. And they're radically transparent about every step in their process, from the materials they use to ethical factories they work with. Their clothes look better, cost less, and last longer because Everlane sells directly to you. Their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. And right now, you can check out our personalized collection at everlane.com/who, W-H-O. Plus, you'll get free shipping on your first order. That's everlane.com/who, everlane.com/who. All of our ads today are going to be about how we're on tour and like the things we use that we sponsor on tour very earnestly. And one of those things is Away.
I mean, literally my Away bag is right over
your
there.
Your whole life.
It's everything's packed in there. I've used it. I have my packing cubes in my Away bag. It's a delightful way to travel. And honestly, I've never been like a huge traveler. I keep calling myself a road warrior. Bobby makes fun of me, but I think it's hilarious. I'm a road warrior on tour. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult to like pack things in and out. But the Away bag, honestly, I overfill it. I have no problem closing it. I'm always like, will she
I'm
close?
Surprised by how well she
will
closes.
Will she close? And she fucking closes. Like, it is delightful. And I love it.
Yeah, it has great wheels. It has the USB charger. It fits everything. And it's carry-on compliant, which is amazing. So, listeners of our show get a special offer. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/whoweekly and use promo code whoweekly during checkout. That's $20 off a suitcase, awaytravel.com/whoweekly, and use promo code whoweekly. I wanted to talk about Kristen Stewart's new girlfriend. We got to talk about a new person. And this new person's name is Sarah Dinkin. They've been dating for a couple months
Who
now.
Who was she dating last?
Let's actually find this
Because
out.
The last girl that she was seriously, seriously dating was that model, Stella Maxwell.
Yeah,
maybe?
Stella Maxwell.
But they broke up like 2 times ago, and now she's dating like, then she was dating someone else, and now she's dating.
She dated Stella for a couple years. So yeah. She split up with Stella and then yeah. immediately started dating Sarah Dinkin.
Oh, so Stella was before Dinkin.
Yes, right before Dinkin. right before
Can
Dinkin.
Can you stop saying Dinkin?
So number one, there's not much to say about Sarah Dinkin, but it's a truly classic like celebrity relationship because they were spotted a couple times. There are like the amazing blurry photos of them leaving restaurants in LA, which is my like that orange-hued paparazzi photo where it's like dark, but they're under street lamps and everything's oversaturated. So you see like blurry pixelated
photos of
two
people. Yeah, because they
put it
in Photoshop and they
yes.
were like,
and it's orange. And so there's Sarah Dinkin and Kristen Stewart. She is a stylist. But if you went to her website, which is sarah-dinkin.com/bio, you would find this sentence. Sarah Dinkin is a style visionary and artistic influencer. Her talent in trendsetting led to being in demand as a celebrity stylist for talent including Chloe Bennett, Jessica Shore, Sozor, Sarah Rafferty, Nico Tortorella, and many more. Dinkin has hosted for Nylon TV, Street Style, NYC Fashion Week, and creative directed and produced her own personal web series, Fancy Hipster TV.
Hey guys, you're watching Fancy Hipster TV. I'm here with Lola Kirk, actress and daughter of Lorraine Kirk, and we are inside of Geminola. Lola, what does Geminola mean?
It's actually a mixture of me and my 3 siblings' names, Jemima, Domino, Lola, and Greg.
My favorite thing about this story is that if you look up who is Sarah Dinkin, you're gonna get this website that I think is on Glamour, and you get she's a stylist, she's also a host, she's a successful blogger, she's worked as a film writer, executive producer, and she lives in Los Angeles. All of those things are from the five paragraphs of her bio. That's all we know about Sarah Dinkin.
That's honestly everyone in LA, though, so
but she's a visionary.
A little bit more information.
She's a visionary.
What's the vision?
I don't know. Ask Bradley Cooper. Do we think they're in it for the long haul?
These two? No.
Yeah, no.
She's a rebound. I'm just being objective. She's the rebound.
Do we think that Kristen Stewart... Do we think Kristen Stewart and Annie Clark, excuse me, St. Vincent, are destined for each other? Sometimes I think that they're going to kind of end up together.
Just because they're two, like, buzzy lesbians?
Yeah.
I mean, I found them to be very delightful together, but I also did find Stella Maxwell and Kristen to be delightful together just because it's like she bagged herself Victoria's Secret model, and I felt like that was very like her character. Like she is like Hollywood's like bad boy, you know, like she, I'm glad that we have her because we really don't have that kind of like gay, like she just got like, she just
cool,
has like
gay.
Cool swagger.
Cool alt.
She's like Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, she's not terrible like he once was slash is, but like, she's got that like Leonardo DiCaprio A-list mysterious, like, you know, she goes to a party and just everyone's like, oh, it's like Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart. There is something, she has an aura that is sort of unparalleled in Hollywood, which is really
fun.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's unique. Like, I'm happy that she, like, it's unique. It's
and we've
great.
Talked about this before, but I think that, and one of the things that makes Kristen Stewart so fun is that she is, she's one of those people who was in such a successful franchise that she's rich as hell, so she can make fun decisions. So her career is just a huge tapestry of fun decisions, weird decisions,
because
she has the freedom to do that, because
right,
she has enough money.
Which is weird. Like yesterday when we were at the venue, Bobby was pulling up his computer screen and he had Clouds of Sils Maria as his backdrop on
backdrop
his computer,
forever.
Which is wild. And the staff of the region
like,
was like,
what movie
is
that?
What is that, Twilight? And
is
I was like,
Twilight?
Actually, it's a... okay. But I was like too overwhelmed to even
I know, I couldn't even
them.
Answer. I was
it
like,
was
I can't
so
say...
funny.
I couldn't
so...
say Clouds of Sils Maria because I was like, I can't get into what Clouds of Sils Maria is. Like, I'm sorry.
That's what's
even
so funny about, like, that's such a funny, I mean, it's like the wife of like 20, whatever. When did
2012,
it come out?
Yeah. 2013, who knows?
Anyways, I'm at her blog and...
Fancyhipster.com?
It's crazy.
She hasn't updated it in a year.
But it's just, it's funny because it's just her in outfits. And she's cute. She's great. She seems cool.
Yeah. Moving on, I want to talk about, I have a big question for you.
Yeah, wait, before we move on to this, can I just show you something?
Please.
I just clicked on this on Twitter because we're just doing this really free form, but I just wanted you to read this headline.
Okay. Aloud?
Yeah.
It's on justjared.com. The headline is, "This singer tattooed Harry Styles' face onto her face." And it's a singer named Kelsey Carter.
Is that real? That's not real.
And she tattooed Harry Styles' face on her right cheek.
But that's not real.
It could be fake.
The look's fake. Who is
she? And also, it doesn't look like Harry Styles. It looks like the kid from Stranger Things. It looks like...
Wolfhard?
It looks like Matarazzo.
But then this article says, "You might not know Kelsey Carter's name yet, but she's probably going to go viral thanks to a new tattoo she just got on her face." The up-and-coming singer got a tattoo of Harry Styles' face on her own face. The tattoo was done by Los Angeles-based tattoo artist Romeo Lacoste, who shared the video of the inking process on Instagram. Oh, God. Kelsey is clearly a fan of Harry's, as the first post on Instagram is a video from one of his concerts. And she also has a music video out. You know what? I don't believe that this is real. This is
I don't believe that it's real.
That's
either.
A stunt.
I don't believe it.
It's
I don't stunt. Believe it.
Anyways,
I think we're being played.
That. Let's move on.
I think we're being played. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if this is sacrilegious, but it really doesn't matter.
I'm not.
Mary, Mother of God, a who or a them?
She's totally like, she's a who-y, she's a them with who tendencies.
She's a them with who tendencies. And the reason for this is because Pope Francis, yes, that's true, that Pope Francis, leader of the Catholic Church,
he's a legend.
At Pontifex
I mean,
on Twitter.
I know he's not good, but like, he's a legend.
Follow him on Instagram, @Pontifex.
This is insane.
He tweeted, "With her, quote, yes, Mary became the most influential woman in history. Without social networks, she became the first influencer. The influencer of God." Okay, so Pope...
Imagine the spawn she got back in the day.
Pope Francis has labeled... Pope Francis, who would know? He's the one who would know.
Who's tweeting for the Pontifex? Like fucking Catherine McPhee's social media person? He does two accounts. He
oh
does Catherine
God.
McPhee. He does the Pope.
God, the Pope Francis version of Catherine McPhee's thing is like a photo of the devil. And it says, "Hi, my gay boys." And it's like... You, if you succumb to your gay thoughts, hi, my gay boys. So Pope Francis in a roundabout way, called Mary a who, because he identified her as an influencer. No. You don't identify thems as influencers.
No, thems, they are influential, but they would never be called influencers, exactly. Which is the huge difference
because
between
influencer,
this is...
When you define someone as an influencer, you make that their job title, right. Their
which
title.
Which is why this retweet is so apt. Tyler Oakley retweeted her and wrote, then why wasn't she at VidCon? Which is literally dragging her down to the level that she deserves to be at for this tweet. Sorry, Mary. I mean, I know Mary's not even having a say in this. The Pope is just speaking for her. The Pope is just speaking for her. Like, she just wants nothing to do with this. And the Pope's like, Mary is an influencer. Like, sign her up for some, like, you know, awaytravel.com merch or whatever. Like, she'll sell you some Quip toothbrushes.
Oh, my God. Just go to squarespace.com/Mary. Do you think
careof.com/mother of Christ.
Do you think when Mary and Joseph were like going from inn to inn, they were dragging their away bags? Oh my God. That's really good.
Mary's like just eating those like hair gummies for at the inn. The three wise men bought them gifts, but they just brought them like a bunch of boxes of fresh.
I can't do this.
What is the company called that we've definitely done spawn for?
HelloFresh.
HelloFresh. The three wise men each showed up with a box of a different like meal delivery service.
Blue Apron, HelloFresh, and Daily Harvest. God. Mary Spawn, though, not to be rude, but Mary Spawn would have been so boring. Mary would not have, like, added a personal story.
No, Mary would have been like, I'm pregnant. I'm so over this. Like,
Mary's like, I'm literally carrying. I'm carrying the Son of God. I can just read your bullet points. I cannot give you any personal flourishes.
Mary's like, I'm not signing up for Robin Hood or whatever. I can't do this. I'm just going to go forward with what I'm
doing. No offense
to
Pod Save America, but Mary's ads would have been very crooked media. Their ads are very, like, let's just do. And, like, that's part of their joke, uh-huh. Where it's like, they
let's
seem
just
not,
do it.
Let's
right.
just do it.
Let's just do it.
She
Mary
would have been
would
that.
Be the same
she would have
way.
Been a very
what
John
network
Lovett.
Do you think Mary would have been on?
She would have been on Crooked Media. Yeah. No, she would have been. She would have been there.
Why
weird,
is
like,
Mary a podcaster?
No, Mary definitely would have been on Crooked Media because Crooked Media would be like, we got to get a religious show. We got to diversify. Let's bow down to like this particular yeah. audience. Because
Mary's
we're
free.
So,
I hear Mary's free.
Everyone thinks we're so like liberal and like progressive
you
and like
Mary
wild.
Would let's... be a mommy blogger too. Like definitely. Like she would need to be like, she's like Eva Marie Martino. She's like, you know.
I can't think of Mary as a mommy blogger. What are you? God, but you know, she would have bought ThoseHeavenlyDays.com from Katherine Heigl because she's like, they're my heavenly days. Katherine
would have sold it willingly, honestly. Katherine needs to stop
Katherine's
blogging.
Like, I don't need to do this anymore.
Mary would have showed up and been like, trust me, I know God, you need to stop blogging. Trust
so
me.
Is this episode going to be called Mary and what?
Like, you should call it like Virgin Mary and
the
Sarah
Virgin Mary
Dinkin.
And Sarah Dinkin. Oh no!
Fuck.
Oh,
we
no.
need to move on. I could talk about this forever.
So this is really stupid, but Prince Philip has been in the news a lot lately, and usually when
he got in a car accident
because he was driving.
And he's old.
Because he was driving.
Stop him from driving.
Prince Philip is 97 years old.
No driving. He shouldn't. Famous people shouldn't drive ever. First of all, never drive if you're famous. Stop mm-hmm. driving. Why are you driving?
So the accident happened a while ago. It happened.
Prince Philip is kind of hooey, right?
He's definitely hooey because yeah. no one ever. You first no, of all, everyone thinks he's. Everyone thinks he's dead. Everyone thinks he's dead because he's so old.
He's close,
and the queen is so visible. The queen's everywhere all the time.
Right, so
sort
he's
of.
Just not. I feel like he's a them if you watch The Crown now. Mm-hmm. Like he's a 2019 them because of The Crown, 2018, 2019. Mm-hmm. But like. Overall, especially to Americans, he's a who. Like, we have a very limited view of the, unless you're a royalist, which I understand, like, you're obsessed with royals, which we have encountered many of those as we were talking about Meghan Markle a lot. But, like, if you are not, you really don't have awareness of what's going on over there, aside from the Queen, aside from Meghan Markle, aside from Diana, Harry, and mm-hmm. William, and well, maybe Kate.
I mean, he was driving a Land Rover. He didn't see the woman in another lane or something, and he smashed into her.
Right.
And he's 97. He was driving a Land Rover. She's driving a Kia, so it's like, you know, like a
he Land Rovered into her.
No, it's literally like an elephant running into, you know, a cat.
Sure.
So she gets injured. He doesn't get injured at all, apparently, but he's very shaken
up. Which is weird because he's 97. His whole body should shatter into pieces. Isn't that what happens? All your bones?
She breaks a wrist. She breaks a wrist. He flips over, but I think he's fine. There was also a baby in the Kia's car. So he writes a letter to this woman. Her name is Emma Fairweather. And the letter is wild. And that's the main reason I'm bringing this up right now.
Well, the headline. Can you read the headline of the Daily Mail?
Which one is that? I don't have the Daily Mail
headline
open.
You have it in here. Prince Philip, riding shotgun and wearing seatbelt, tells accident victim he's
sorry. That's TMZ.
Sorry.
That's TMZ. Oh. Riding shotgun and wearing seatbelt. So they have a new photo of him riding shotgun. It's like, he's not driving anymore. Thank God.
Oh, so exactly. He was driving and now he's only riding shotgun. Well,
so
that's how it should be.
So it says, Dear Miss Fairweather, I would like you to know how very sorry I am for my part in the accident at the Babbingley crossroads. I have been across that crossing any number of times, and I know very well the amount of traffic that uses that main road. It was a bright, sunny day, and at about 3 p.m, the sun was low over the Wash.
This is beautiful.
In other words, the sun was shining low over the main road.
Okay.
In normal conditions, I would have no difficulty in seeing traffic coming from the Dershingham direction, but I can only imagine that I failed to see the car coming, and I'm very contrite about the consequences. I was somewhat shaken after the accident, but was greatly relieved that none of you were seriously injured. As a crowd was beginning to gather, I was advised to return to Sandringham House by a local police officer. I have since learned that you suffered a broken arm. I am deeply sorry about this injury. I wish you a speedy recovery from your very distressing experience.
I love that.
Yours sincerely, Philip. So he's like, I'm sorry I fucking fled the scene. Yeah, but literally. I did it because a cop was like, you gotta flee the scene.
I mean, truly.
Listen, Prince Philip. Truly. Also, how did he flee the scene? He's 97.
They put
I guess
in a cop
car came.
And they drove him home.
Yeah, I mean, when Prince Philip dies, whenever that is, she's definitely going to be called. And it's like, what was your memory of Prince Philip when
she's
he ran
like,
into
I didn't
car?
Meet him. He left. He left, fled the scene.
He fled the scene. What is next on this list?
Halsey's hosting Saturday Night Live.
Halsey's going to host Saturday Night Live.
But it's like not even like, if Halsey was on Saturday Night Live, which she has been before, we wouldn't care. But she's hosting and performing. Which,
Well, she has her number one finally. She finally got her number one.
But can she act? She played herself in A Star Is Born.
We'll find out.
Is she funny? She is funny. She is funny in that video where she tells people to stop. She's funny in that video. What is that?
Please don't be rude to me.
That's hilarious.
I'm not trying to swerve you.
That's a hilarious video.
I think she'll be fine.
I'm not watching it, but it's fine.
No, who watches Saturday Night Live? But it's just funny that it's just funny that it all comes back to Halsey at this point. Lindsay, you take this one. So Megan Barton Hansen, we have an update here.
I usually don't love to update about stuff like this because it gets dull and drags on. But these two, remember how we said they were together and fought? Megan Barton Hansen and Wes Nelson from Love Island. They ended up together. They got in a fight because of Dancing on Ice. His partner, she said his partner was mean to her and that she was trying to
steal
him.
Please don't be mean to me.
Guess what? They broke up. Like over this. For sure over this drama.
He's probably going to start dating the Dancing on Ice woman in 2 seconds.
I pray. That would really make this nice. And then we'll talk about it again. So this headline from The Sun, Megan Barton Hansen splits from Wes Nelson after jealousy over Dancing on Ice partner. But that's not the best part.
The best part is this.
She announced the split on Instagram and Instagram stories, which I think is lovely because then it doesn't stay in your gram. It just fully disappears. But don't worry, I have a screenshot of it. And it basically...
The margins here also, she's only using about...
This got a good laugh last night.
It's like a 200-word apology, but she's only using maybe like 10% of the space on the screen because she made it so small.
It's very hard to read. I'd have to literally pull my thumb down and zoom in. Anyways, I'm not going to read the first part, but it's like, it's exactly what you think. She calls it an unconscious coupling, which is hilarious. So, okay, she says...
Conscious uncoupling.
Conscious...
And then she claims she doesn't even know that it's from Gwyneth.
So listen, she says, we are, however, and will always be a family, and in many ways we are closer than ever as we have been. We are parents, first and foremost, to one incredibly wonderful hamster. Hamster. This is not a joke. It's not a comedian, I don't think. It's unclear. So she writes this whole letter, including that we're going to co-parent a hamster. And then the Daily Mail posted another screenshot of her texting with another Love Island castmate, in which the Love Island castmate says, people are saying it's the same as Gwyneth, spelled G-W-E-N-I-T-H, Poutroyce, or however you spell it, speech.
P-O-U-T-R-O-Y-S.
I am dead, if so, dead. And then she responded, yes, obs. And she wrote, and the other girl wrote, I am ducking dead. And then Megan wrote, I'm not going to co-parent a hamster, fool. So I guess that was the joke. She was making a joke. But she didn't
see.
That's
not a good joke.
Also, I got from her that she wasn't like a joke-making gal.
No, yeah. That's true.
All right. Anyways, and then the other great part is that the Daily Mail featured photos of Wes. What is that from?
Nailed it.
Got it.
Wes on Nailed It. Every time Nicole Byer calls him, she goes, Wes! Wes!
Wes! Wes! What has happened to your hair, Wes?
It's a really niche joke for you.
It's so good.
Anyways, this headline, Wes Nelson and Megan Barton Hansen split. Love Island hunk pictured the moment he discovers their home has been burgled just hours before announcing shock breakup.
So imagine you went to your house, you open the door, you see it all ransacked. You turn around because you haven't quite walked into the house because you're so overwhelmed by it. And when you turn around, there's a camera taking photos of you. That's the face he's making.
Well, which is interesting because I feel like either somebody called them, but more likely they're listening to like the police report and they heard his name and they were like, we got to go.
You got the scanner.
So they got a photo of him literally looking at the camera like, yeah, I was just burgled, bitches. And so they have this photo and it's just, it's delightful, honestly.
It's really good. It's delightful. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was burgled. That's sad.
Yeah.
It's time to do Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
First things first, we talked about Rita not knowing what a tuba was already.
Yeah.
So let's move on to, she has her new shoe line. We finally saw the first shoe.
We've seen a bunch of shoes.
But the main shoe.
The red shoe.
The big thigh-high boot.
The shoe,
Knee-high boot, probably.
As I said at the show last night, the shoe that only I could see only Rita wearing and no one else. So delightful that Rita designed shoes just for herself. Not sure she understands the point of business, which is to sell the shoes to people like me as I hold up my Birkenstocks.
But they'll be in like videos. People will wear those on a run.
Sure, and also the brand that Rita's pairing with is like a flashy brand.
It's like, what are the shoes that J-Lo wore, the really insane shoes that she wore in that Ain't Your Mama video? Were they like Versace?
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you just say, like, I'm supposed to remember what happened in the Ain't Your Mama video?
The iconic shoes she wore in
Ain't
Your Mama.
Oh, yes, the shoes she wore in the Ain't Your Mama video. What the fuck is wrong with you?
You know those shoes.
Ain't Your Mama video?
Yes. Ain't gonna do your laundry. I ain't your mama. The shoes. You know the shoes. Come on. These. See, they were like. Remember, they like tied to her belt.
Oh, they're like chap shoes.
They're chap shoes.
So they were denim shoes that were actually attached to chaps. Those were not iconic shoes.
Those were kind of iconic.
They were not.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
Okay, what else is Rita?
They were definitely custom. The most important thing, which everyone's been asking us about, is did we see Rita Ora on Drag Race? The answer is I did.
The answer is this is what was said when she was introduced.
No, well, it's okay. Let me get into the context for this for just a second.
For the clip?
Rita Ora was on an episode of Drag Race in which the competition was the drag queens had to make their own clubs,
mm-hmm.
like themed clubs. So there was a club that was themed like space. There was a drag club that was themed like fashion or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a drag race club that was themed like bees, like the beehive.
Mm-hmm.
And each scene, each skit, they do these little skits. Rita Ora was partying at the club, which was accurate because those are clubs. That's like what Rita Ora would do.
She parties at the club. She designs shoes. So she parties at the club.
So the drag queens had to do these funny little like promo videos like come to our club. And in the bee one, and an amazing drag queen named Manila Luzon was over at the VIP section and was like, here we have our VIBs.
New York City legends Suzanne Barsh.
Yay!
And non-American singer Rita Ora.
Unbelievable. Manila Luzon is definitely aware she's making a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible joke.
It's a good joke. My favorite thing about this, and I made this joke last night at the show, is that those are two solid descriptors of someone that most people cannot describe.
100%.
Non-American, number one, singer.
Singer.
Because people always ask, what does she do? She's a singer.
Right. So
where's she from? She's not American.
It's shady because of saying them both. But if you were like, who is Rita Ora? I would say, oh, she's mostly known for being a singer and she's British.
It's
so
a very reasonable
non-American
first sentence.
Non-American singer.
It's a very reasonable first sentence of a Wikipedia. Rita Ora is a non-American singer. Blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Shoe designer.
Shoe designer.
Tuba hater.
And activist. I don't know.
An activist.
LGBTQ activist.
Oh, she sure
LGBTQ
is.
LGBTQ warrior.
She sure is. But so she was on Drag Race. She was delightful. I don't know. She looked great.
She's a delight.
Her opening joke was a little bit of a flop, but it's fine. They don't give you much time to talk.
She's good. But that's it. Oh, did we talked about the ad stuff already.
What ad
stuff? On last week's episode.
Oh, she got in trouble for not spawning
But that's
ads.
All she's been into. Yeah. Because she spent so much time on Drag Race, so she's that's busy. All she did.
Well, she has so many, like, lines. And also, I will say, like, if you do a sponsored line for someone, it is technically not spawn because you're involved in it. Like, I just wonder.
It's your business.
Yeah, the line of where you would need to tag ad, tag spawn or whatever is actually quite blurry when it becomes your own item.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, sure, you're spawning, but if you own it, like, or you made
it. It's obvious
to
people that it's like
you. Right, it's like, oh, Rita Ora and Adidas. Sure, I know this is technically spawn, but it's also, she's not selling Adidas. Mm-hmm. She's like alongside them. So. Mm-hmm. I would like a call from the whatever.
FCC.
Yeah, and tell me what the deal is with this, because I need to know.
And with that, I think we're done. So, everyone, we'll see you in Denver on Thursday. We'll see you in Seattle on Friday. We'll see you in Portland on Saturday. Everyone else, you know, we'll see you later.
And then we'll
later.
See you in other cities
in
later.
Other cities. In go to whoweekly.com/live. Whoweekly.us/live.
And wait, I want to say, by the time this episode goes up, if you're seeing all the cool merch that we're selling at the shows and you're like, wait, I want to get that, but they're not
It'll
coming to my city, whoweekly.us, click on store. You'll go to our store. Everything is beautiful and new, and the pins and the totes, and please go check it out. Please go look.
And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Also support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. And call in 619-WHO-THEM if you have any questions or comments for Friday's episode. Until then, see you later. Goodbye.
Ciao.
We love you. Bye.
You or Draylor? Yeah. 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 They want to know.
To be famous.
I'm carrying the Son of God. I can just read your bullet points.